chapter 12, and I'm just grabbing some bits and pieces of a little barn. It's very sweet, isn't it? And I'm going to need somebody to come up and help me. If there's somebody who's... Oh, come on, Jazzy. Up you come. Oh, got some runaway lemons. Right. So in this story, Jesus told a story about a very rich man. And this rich man had a huge farm. You wouldn't believe it, but this is a huge farm by standards of the time. And he had a very successful harvest, as you can see. What have we got here, Jasmine? We've got some aubergines, very typical. Lots of peas, also very typical of the type of pizza. Anyway, he had lots of food. He had a lot more than he needed. His orchards had done well. His wheat harvest had done well. It's been a good year, the right amount of rain and sun. And he had so much more than he could possibly eat. So what do you think he did with all of his harvest? What do you think he did? Can I say that again? I think it's more than he could possibly eat. I'd like to see him try, but he might have blown up. Do you want to see if you can get all of that harvest into his barn for me? Okay, we've got a few bits in there. 4 bits, 5 bits, 6. That's it, you've got to fit it all in there. Okay, we're doing quite well. Is it all going to fit?
No.
What do you think he could have done with the surplus, rather than eat it all? Go on then, see if you've got a better answer. He could sell it to the other people. It's quite a good idea. What do you think? Shared it? I don't think he did share it. I don't even think he sold it. He wasn't that clever. Do you know what he did? He thought, it's a very nice barn. Not good enough. I'm going to build a bigger barn. This one's got 2 doors. Can you try and get all the fruit and vegetables and pizza and eggs into that one for me, Jasmine? Thank you. He knocked down his old barn and he built a bigger barn. And he stuffed it full and he was feeling pretty good with himself. You know what? He sat back in his favourite chair. He opened a packet of digestives or whatever he'd been harvesting. He kicked back and he thought, I have many goods stored up for myself. I have done well. I'm going to sit back, I'm going to relax, and I'm going to enjoy the spoils of my harvest. Do you think he was planning on giving any away? No. I mean, he had a farm, but not everybody had a farm. Do you think he was going to... Yeah, he wasn't even going to sell it, was he, and make a bit of money and go on holiday? No, he was just going to keep it all. And do you know what? That night, when he was asleep... Oh, thank you, Jasmine. Well done. You go sit down now. When he was asleep... Yeah, give her a clap. Good harvesting. When he was asleep that night, he heard a voice, and that voice was from God. And God said to him, "You foolish one, tonight your life is required of you. The things which you have prepared, whose will they be?" Crikey, do you know what that means? God was telling him that night he was going to die. His life was going to be required of him. And when he dies, where was all of that food going to go? What use will his barns full of food be? He should have been doing God's will all of these years. And Jesus was saying in this story that a man may think he is rich, but what use is of all the things that we save up here on earth? What being rich really is spending years living a life of love and compassion for God. Andy, I think it's back over to you.
Thank you very much for the reading and stealing my talk. It's kind of my reflections on this passage. And as I was reading through this parable and thinking about it, I was thinking, actually, for most people, when they hear the majority of that story about a business owner, a farmer, whoever it may be, somebody that has done really, really well because of the field or the occupation that they're in, they get celebrated for that. So people that do really well in business, they either like win awards or they just get loads of money and people are like, oh, they've done so well, they deserve all of that. Or people in other fields, maybe in technology, where people develop loads of new technology and maybe it comes with a financial reward, or it just comes with people having better lives or more things because technology gets better. Everybody says, oh, that's a fantastic thing, that's a wonderful thing. So for most of that story, everybody is going, yes, well done to that man. He's had a fantastic harvest. He needs somewhere to store it. Naturally, we can't just let it all go to waste. We can't let it all rot in the fields. He needs to make sure it's stored properly so that it can either be used properly or it can be eaten in good time. So for most of that story, most people, when they hear it, and I would imagine it's the same back in Jesus' day, they would have been thinking, absolutely, that's what I do. My neighbor, he had a farm, he had a massive harvest. He needed to store it. It makes complete sense. But as Jesus does with his parables and also with lots of the things he says, he takes what people would normally assume is the right thing to do and then flips it on its head slightly. And what most people would probably say is quite sensible thinking and is good work on the part of the farmer, Jesus says, actually, God thinks that he's a fool. He's a fool for storing all these things away in barns. Not necessarily he's a fool for making sure it doesn't rot. That's not a foolish thing. Letting things rot is probably quite a foolish thing. But actually, he's a fool for storing it all away. So when Claire asked, what could the man have done with it? We had two marvelous answers. Either sell it to other people so that they have it. Yes, he would have had more money, but other people would have had the food. Or he could have given it away. And actually, I think that's probably one of the points that Jesus is trying to get across to us. This man who stores up all of his things, he doesn't need all of these things. In fact, he goes to a lot of effort and even more work to make sure he keeps the things that he's got. I don't know how many of you have ever had to try and build something. I've built a few things in my time, mostly out of Lego, a few things out of wood, the biggest of which has been a potting bench, and that took me at least a day, and that's like this small. I can't imagine how long it must have taken to build a massive barn to store all this food. And not just to build the barn, but to have to demolish the other barns to make way for this barn. I've seen some houses go up pretty quickly in my time. In like a month, I've seen houses go up. But even still, a month to build something to store some food. That seems incredible. And then I was reading it, I was thinking, well, Jesus says these things, and he says them with the point that we are like somebody in this story. So in this story, who do you most feel like? Do you most feel like the man with all these things who's having to make more space to accommodate all of his stuff? Maybe you are like somebody that isn't actually mentioned in the story but is still there, the people that miss out on all these things because the man is hoarding them away. Actually, there's things that you don't have because other people are keeping them for themselves. Maybe you just feel like one of the people standing and listening to Jesus, like, oh, that's a nice story, Jesus. Very nice. Lovely. I'll just get on with my own life now. But thanks for the slight diversion from everyday life. I have to say, unfortunately, sometimes I feel like the rich man. And there is a particular room in our house. We know it as the white room, simply because all the walls are white. And it has kind of become sort of our barn, in effect. It is the room where we've kind of put everything that we haven't really sorted through, but that we've got and that we just need to shove somewhere. You may have something similar. It might not be as big as a room. It might only be a cupboard. In fact, I think our white room is almost competing with our garage at the moment. So we've almost got two barns, in effect. But I'm sure there are many of you out there for whom actually this is a similar thing. And sometimes we don't know quite where this stuff comes from. It's not that we've had a massive food harvest and we've gone oomph in one pile and gone and landed it all in one place. It could be that it's just small things that are built up over time. The odd Christmas present here, the odd gift from a friend there. Your mother decides you need all these baby things because you've just got a baby. Who knows where it could have come from? But it just starts to pile up and pile up and pile up, and you just end up living with all this stuff? And I think Jesus is saying, well, is that right? Could God be saying to us, you have all these things, but actually, you're a bit of a fool? Are there other things we could be doing with our stuff? Could there be people that could be using those things that we don't use, that are just sitting in a cupboard or in a room or under the stairs, that maybe we've used once in the last 5 years, but actually somebody else could use it much better? Could there be things that we could lend to people and have back again? We very much like films. We have a lot of films. And we've lent many of our films out to people when they wanted to use them. And that makes me feel quite good, being able to say to someone, I've got this, would you like to borrow it? So are there things like that that we've got? So for just a second, what I would like you to do is close your eyes and mentally picture your stuff. That might be quite a hard thing. If it helps, you could just mentally picture your house. You could just picture a room in your house. You could try and squeeze everything into a mental cupboard. Say, this is all my stuff in this cupboard. And something that I think God wants to say to us today is, actually, what of your stuff? What of your possessions? Maybe even things that you've worked hard to get. What of those things actually are getting in the way of you being the sort of person that God wants you to be? God wants us to be the sort of people who are charitable to others, who are free with our possessions, who don't cling on to the stuff of our lives, but actually cling on to our relationship with Him. So what things, or maybe even just what one thing, could you say to God, God, actually, this thing I want to give to you. I want you to use it for whatever you want to do, not just me using it for the things that I want to do and holding on to it myself. And what I'd like you to do is, not right now, but at some point after this service, I would like you to either write a note down about that particular thing, or if it's more than one thing, those things that you think you could use for God, and spend some time in prayer saying to God, okay, God, what can I use this for? Who could use this better? And by way of a practical example, I felt this kind of quite strongly about 10 years ago. And I felt that I had a lot of CDs. We still have a lot of CDs, but at the time I was a single man living by myself, literally in a room up at Carroty Wood. And I had a lot of CDs. And I felt God saying to me, actually, you're being a bit like that man. You're collecting these CDs, but they're not really doing anything. And actually, they're getting in the way of your relationship with me. So I want you to get rid of some of them. And I found that really hard because I really like them. I still really like music. Spotify, I think, is an amazing thing. The fact that I can listen to loads of music without having to have it. But I did get rid of quite a lot of those CDs. Some I gave away, some I sold. Some I've still got to give away because actually nobody will take them. But but after I'd done that, I felt so much better, and I genuinely felt like God was saying to me, well done, you've been good with that, now let's move on. So I encourage you that if you're a bit hesitant, I think it is something that you will find is really good for your soul and your relationship with Jesus. So we're going to be moving on to our prayers in a second. So as we remain in a prayerful attitude, and as I invite Claire up, once again, I'd just like you to close your eyes, and I'm going to pray for all of us. And God, we thank you that you do bless us, that you bless us with so much, and that you don't just bless us with the things that we can touch and feel, but you also bless us with the spiritual things that we can't touch and feel, with love, with family, with joy, with happiness. And we pray that you would help us to build up more of those things of you, the spiritual things, that will last forever rather than just the tangible material things that will fade in time. And for those particular things that we've thought about now, we pray that you would help us to see who or how we can be using them better, and that you would bless us as we are a blessing to others. Amen.